For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome, everyone. We're going to begin chapter 11. I guess they don't want to start on, no one wants to start on chapter 11, so I'll review one item for chapter 10. That's on page 152. There's a saying that's often quoted. Many of these things in Kohelet are just a half a line is taken out. In English, they say, follow the money. In other words, like when there's something happening and you're trying to understand what's going on, there's usually a money trail or there's money behind it. So really, in verse 20, King Solomon said that there's a lot of things going on. V'hakesef yana es hakol. Money answers everything. Now, money isn't everything, but sometimes money, sometimes people are having all kinds of challenges and problems. Many times there's a money problem, and because there's a money problem, everything else is a problem. In other words, many problems could be solved with money, or there's a money behind the problem that's there. It's just a famous quote that's mentioned over here. And then on the next line, he mentions discretion, that we try, we don't curse people out. Jews are not into cursing. We're not into saying things about people, even if nobody will hear. And he has this famous saying that the birds will carry the, today we call it the TSA or the, somebody's listening, Big Brother's listening. But in those days when they had no Big Brother and they had no secret microphone, still somehow conversations were overheard. If you don't want it to be heard, then don't say it. That's the best rule. Okay. Chapter 11. Shalach lachmacha al pnei amayim. Send forth your bread upon the waters. Very interesting expression. It means you make investments in different places. Put bread means your work or your efforts. And sometimes a person puts effort in different places and he doesn't know how it will come back to him or where what it accomplished. But if you send it forth, ki barov hayamim timsenu, after many days you will find it. One of the famous examples is Avraham Avinu, our father Abraham. He went to war for his nephew Lot. And what did his nephew do? He then went and settled in Sodom. That's like the opposite kind of place that Avraham would want him to be at. And he did a lot of things for this nephew. He was constantly trying to help this nephew, and in fact, for many years, the nephew thought he was going to be the heir to it all. And in Avraham's lifetime, nothing came of Lot, and Lot's descendants was like a fearsome warrior nation. Were awful people; they were terrorists. But eventually, Rus came out of Moab. Rus, the grandmother of King David, of David HaMelech, and one of the most righteous people in our history, the righteous converts, she came out of the efforts. So you could have said, Avraham, why are you putting so much time into this nephew? He doesn't appreciate it. He's the opposite of you. You're giving, and he wants to go to Sodom where they're taking. You know, he doesn't appreciate what you're doing. He wants to stay far away from you. He's not a good kind of person. Don't put that effort into him. It's a waste of time. But Avraham put the effort into him, and to all the Jewish kings come from the line of David that came from that effort that Avraham did. And the Mashiach will also come from that effort. And so sometimes we put efforts in different directions. There are different projects we work on. There's different educations we get. And we wonder, what use will that be? And King Solomon says, no, do it. Send forth your bread on the waters. You know, like, put effort in different directions, and it'll come back to you. You'll find it. It'll make its way around. What does it literally mean? Like putting bread on water? I think bread usually falls down. Like you think it'll disappear.
So it falls apart.
It falls apart and it's gone. So you might think that if you put your bread, send it in a certain direction, you'll never see it again. But that's not so. You never. When a person puts an effort in a good thing or in a something productive, you never know when it'll be helpful. It'll come back to you. That's all we can do in life, is we try many different things and we put effort in many different directions. There's certain people that we've been trying with for years to influence them in a good way, and sometimes we feel like we're wasting our time. We told them so many times and they go and they do the opposite. But you send forth your bread. In other words, even if it looks like it's sinking, the bread is gone. It's not gone. You'll find it in the. So that seems to be the.
Does that also go like with the brother's keeper and we're all cousins kind of thing?
You never know. We take responsibility for all of mankind. In other words,
right.
Because we never know who will make the difference or how where our efforts will. We're put in the world to try making the world a better place in many different directions, and sometimes it feels like we tried to do something and the bread sank in the water, but after many days it'll come back to us. We'll see. I've had that personally, where there were people that I worked with or I helped or I studied with, and I didn't think I made much of an impression, and then years later they said, it came back to them, it meant something to them, they changed, so you just never know what, when it'll have an influence. Today in the computer age, somebody emailed me who I had studied with like 30 years ago, and my second synagogue, I had a synagogue in Long Island, and there were just two synagogues in town. The other one, we were the Orthodox one, and there was the conservative one. And I decided that we should be friends because, we're the only ones there. So I called up the president of the conservative synagogue, and I said, let's study together once a week. So I studied with him. I didn't talk politics. I didn't get into in a small town, the shul site for members and this and that. I studied with him. I learned the Shema. And I forgot about it. And that was something in my past history. And then 3 years ago, he was coming to Atlanta or something, visiting on a... And it turns out he ended up... He eventually became observant, and he became the president of the Orthodox synagogue. But he told me that... He said that the learning, it made a difference to him, and it had gotten him started and started him on a path. And I had almost totally forgotten about him because I just didn't really spend much time. It was just like one of those things that I just did because I thought it was a good idea to make a relationship at that time with the other synagogue. That there's the best way to make a relationship is through Torah. Like, you never lose with that. That's but at any rate, I just happened to find out because he was traveling to Atlanta and he came across my name, and he told me, by the way, that learning that I did, he felt was a good, that started a spark in him to learn more and to become more observant. And at the time, I would not have, I put all my efforts into my synagogue. This was really just a, like a peace offering kind of thing. But you just never know. People should be willing to be kind and to be giving and show friendship in all directions, and you just never know. There's a famous story that there was a, in South America, there was a big kosher slaughterhouse that at the end of the day, they were going to lock up, and the security guard said, wait a second, not everybody's out. And he said, what do you mean? He said, well, he saw the mashgiach come in the morning, and he didn't leave. He didn't remember that he left. So they did a search of the whole place. In the walk-in cooler, they found the mashgiach. He got locked in. And if he had been left there at the night, he would, that's a terrible way to... you can't survive, really, in a walk-in because your temperature goes up. And luckily, he hadn't been there that long, and he was fine. So they asked the security guard, how did you know that he was, that he hadn't left? I mean, a huge amount of people come and go every day. He doesn't count each person. He said, well, this particular rabbi was always friendly to me. He always wished me a good day. And I wait for that. I wait till he says, see you later tomorrow, Chuck, whatever it is. And since I didn't see him, so I was pretty sure that he hadn't left because I know he always greets me when he says goodbye. So that little investment that he made just to notice a person, that saved his life. And that's the, so you just never know. We're not friendly because of that, but you just, we're in this world to make a difference, and you make investments, and you just never know the, but that's that schlux, you know, put your bread out there, you never know when it'll, but that was the Mashkiach kosher supervisor story that that was, I knew one of the people, it was the, so that's the first piece of advice. Verse 2. Hein keuch l'shiva. Now, here he talks in a mystery. He talks about 7, and he talks about 8. And it's not clear, what does he mean, 7 or 8? What are these numbers? So the simple meaning is that make many investments. You know, diversify. Have 7 or 8 investments. Ki lo yada ma'ya ra aloret. Because, you know, you never really know. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's never a good idea. They used to be, when you were with a company, they would give you stock in the company, and you'd get more and more stock in it. And that's a good idea, because then you want the company to succeed. But then they discovered that certain companies like Enron and other companies went out of business, and if a person had all their stocks in one company, it wasn't really good for him, because you just, let's say you had IBM, and then today, you know, they're not what they used to be or whatever. So you should have things in 7 or 8 different directions. And then that would explain why it comes after the previous verse about sending forth. A person should diversify. They should be invested in many different places, because you never know where something will be, what will be bad in the end, what won't work. If you have it all in one basket, you could get in trouble. But what is the 7 or the 8? Some 7 is usually considered the days of the week, the natural. In other words, when you invest in 7. 7 is like every single day is nature. 8 means sometimes something that would have to be a miracle, would be a little impossible. What he's saying, when he says invest in 7 or 8, sometimes you got a dream. In other words, you should really invest in very practical things, 7, things that, you know, should do well. But you should do a little something risky is also good. A little, you know, a little bit of 8,
a
little bit of supernatural you can afford. A little bit of 8 is above nature, though. And by the way, that's the Hanukkah theme. That's why Hanukkah is 8, because it mm-hmm. 8 represents miraculous. It's above nature. It's above that. There are 7 days of the week. The 8th day, logically, we had no reason that we could defeat the Greeks. The Greeks were a much bigger nation, a much stronger nation, a much more organized nation. And this little band of, you know, of high priests and the Maccabees, there's no reason we should be celebrating Hanukkah today. It's such a funny thing, you know, because of this little band of people that got together and said, no, you know, we're going to stand up for our Judaism, and we're going to fight in order to be able to practice. And that's why we're here today. Thousands of years later, we're celebrating the Hanukkah, and those Greeks are long gone. But that's the 8, which means that sometimes you have to be willing to take on something that is above nature. After the Holocaust, people said the Jewish people were finished. There was no way we would ever pick ourselves up. Many of you might have been involved in organizations or synagogues where the money just wasn't there. And you could have sat and said, there's just no way, I look at a tamima back there. And I was, I had a daughter in that high school, and I just said, when they talked about a building, I said, there's no way. This community, there's just, they didn't have any big donors, and everybody was maxed out, and Torah Day was paying off their big loan, and the shul was there. How are they going to do a building? It was a miracle. Somehow they have a building. It's standing right over there, right? It's just, you got to believe in miracles sometimes. And so that's what it means. Give credit to, you got to be practical, but every now and then you can have things that work above nature. Vegam lishmona, because you never know what will work, what won't. Verse 3. Imiwa avin geshem ala oretz. I understood this verse as a follow-up on the previous verse, that if you fill yourself up in many different directions, so if there are lots of clouds, so yuriku, then the clouds will water the ground. In other words, if you invest in many different things, something has got to work. Something will produce. If you put a lot of clouds, so eventually one of the clouds, if there's lots of clouds, you're going to get some rain. Ve'im yipol eitz v'dorim. Now, if you have everything in one tree and that tree falls down, wherever that falls down, that's where it's going to be. So this, along with this theme of the previous two verses, he's saying diversify, go in many different directions. One never knows what the end will be. You gotta. Some people would say spread yourself out, try many different things. Sometimes spiritually, people should try different things, like if there's learning Torah, and then there's prayer, and then there's mitzvot, and then there's you could try Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick. I'll do a plug for my wife. You could do. You could try. There's just so many different mitzvot that you could get involved in. You could take care of the poor. That you could be take care of guests, people that are visiting. You have guests, right? You got to take care of people that are traveling through and need a place to stay. And some people they invest in their taking care of their parents. You know, being extra, being there for them. I'll take you there, Mom. I'll do this for you. That's all. These are different investments in mitzvahs. But one never knows which one will be, what will be a person's anchor. Again, sometimes it's the one that a person didn't really expect would be the mitzvah that would help him and would make him grounded and would get what he would see a payback from. Sometimes that's the one that makes the difference. Whereas if you just got that one tree, sometimes that one tree falls down and you're not left with anything. But if you have these different clouds, then it could succeed. Verse 4. Shama ruach lo yizra. Some people are always waiting for the wind. They're always waiting for the perfect day. You know, when the wind, yeah, apparently you need the wind to plant. You need the right combination of winds. I'm not a farmer, I don't know exactly, but if you're waiting for the right combination of winds to plant, you'll never plant. If you're waiting for it to be just perfect and the right, everything, as soon as that happens, if you're just watching for the wind, you'll never plant. You sometimes have to go for it. Roy ba'avim lo yikser. And if you're waiting for the clouds, you won't harvest. Sometimes a person has to gamble a little bit. They have to go forward, and you can't wait around. You can't be waiting. In the stock market, it's always like that. People always wait for the right thing, and then they invest when it's doing well, and it's too late because they're at the high point or the. But a person who's waiting for the wind, you got to be careful that you're not waiting for something that will never happen. Sometimes people wait for a mitzvah because they're too busy. And they say, well, you know, in a few years I'll retire, things will get easier, then I'll do it. And it just doesn't work that way. You can't push things off. There's no time like the present. If you're waiting for the wind, you'll never end up planting anything. Or if you wait for the clouds, you won't harvest. But again, I don't know what the metaphor is. I don't know the farm, I'm a city boy. I don't know the clouds and the wind or the, but I think that's what he's saying. You're waiting for the right conditions. Verse 5, Kasha en yodea ma derech haruach, just like you really don't know, exactly, there are certain things, and it's interesting. He says, the way I took this was you can't predict the weather. All you need to do is listen to the weathermen, and you see they're always wrong. It's the just like nobody really knows, you know, which way is the wind going to go. It's interesting, whenever they have these hurricanes, they try to predict exactly where it'll go.
Does
and
that mean there's something more important than the machinery that tells you exactly what the forecast is?
I think that they can't predict it. They try to predict it, but they never...
That's
never,
the point.
And I know in New York they're trying to invest in a better... They had that Hurricane Sandy, and it took everybody by surprise. They just... So they're investing in a better, you know, in a better, better weather equipment or whatever it is. But there will always be... Nobody's really going to know exactly what turn the weather is going to... is going to take, you know, that's the... But I think that's what he means. Kashen Yedea, he says the same way you don't know. Now, it's interesting, though. One of the things he says, though, is the other thing that you don't really know is what a child will be, a boy or a girl. Which today we actually know. Or, you know, he doesn't say it like that. He says, just like you don't know. Now, you might argue if you have all the technology, you will know the weather. And I suppose if you have the technology, you could do a sonogram, you will know what the baby is, what's going on in the womb. In an earlier stage, you really don't know. So, kashrein yedea madera haruach hatzamim, just like you don't know what's going on, there are certain things. Part of the human condition is that we like to know everything. And sometimes we have to accept that we just don't. There's certain things we're not going to know, and we have to accept that. There are certain, that just like we don't know which way direction the wind is going to take, and we don't know what's inside the stomach of somebody that's expecting. Lo seides ma'aseh Elokim. We don't understand everything Hashem does. If you try to feel like you know everything that Hashem does and why, you have a lot of heartache, because we're not Hashem. That's a mistake a lot of people make. They feel like, you know, I should understand, you know, if only I were running the world, I would know. It's funny, when you have a big corporation, they do and the employee says, oh, he would know exactly what to do if he were the... We all laugh, but when people want to tell Hashem how to run the world, then we don't laugh.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work, but it's a... you have to accept that we're not going to know everything. Verse 6, Baboker Zerasarecha. Now, in the morning, or when it's early, you plant, you put down the seed. Now, once you planted, you did enough work for the day. Maybe you're finished. So he says, no. Ula Erev, in the evening, out, don't stop. Ki ein yedeya eza yikshir haza o eza. Basically, you shouldn't just do one set of planting and be finished. Because what happens if those... sometimes you plant certain seeds and they just don't grow. I know I got some good stories today. There's another amazing story. We're talking about Cuba. Okay? So there were some... in its time, Cuba had a lot of wealthy Jews. It was like Miami Beach. It was a very comfortable place to live, and it was luxurious before the communists took over. And... when the Israel was being founded, they made a tour of the United States and Cuba, and they asked wealthy people to buy Israel bonds to support the country, because they needed a lot of money to buy weapons and to invest in the country and machinery and equipment. And there was a very wealthy Cuban Jew, and they said, you know, Israel, it didn't look like a very good investment, because Israel was about to be invaded by Egypt and by other countries, and nobody really thought. Common wisdom was that Israel wouldn't succeed, and they would go and beg England to come back. In fact, that was England's idea: was that, you know, let the Arabs beat up on the Jews a little bit; they'll beg us to come back, and then we'll run the country again. That was really their what they wanted to happen, and so. When the Israel bonds people came through, so they had some good investment, we'll give you this much interest, we'll do this, we'll do that. So they went to this one wealthy Jew in Cuba, and he said, it's not a good investment. Everything that I know in business tells me that this is not it, but I want to help Israel out. So he bought a certain amount of Israel bonds. So Castro took over the country, and he nationalized all the wealth and took it away from everybody. And he wanted to leave, you know, that was before, he didn't want to be stuck there. And they wouldn't let him take anything out, everything the government took. And he had his Israel bonds, they let him keep that because they said it's not worth anything. So he made his way to Miami Beach, and the only money that he had was the Israel bonds that he had. I don't know if it was $100,000 or $10,000 at the time. And he was able to rebuild himself from that money that he thought was just a donation. And so here he gave this donation that and that he thought was, he would never see it back again. It was just a... And then it came back. And that's what really... that enabled him and his family to rebuild, was that donation that he made to Israel bonds. So... but you keep on going in life. You just never know where you'll be successful. I'm sure he would have thought that his best business investment were many other things. You know, maybe it was his cigar factory in Cuba or whatever it was. But it was not. There's a similar story with Wysocki, the tea empire. Wysocki, I don't know how you pronounce it, Wysocki, or the there's a tea company that had the tea concession for Russia. And he was one of the wealthiest Jews. He was actually made a baron in Russia. And he started a little tea company in Israel because they convinced him to help out the Jews to make a... And he also thought, you know, Israel is a desert. How much tea are they going to drink? And, you know, but he wanted to help out his people. And again, the communists came and they took it all away. And the only company he had to rebuild from was this little company in Israel with Saski Tea. And they actually have it. The Kollel has it by their tea. You know, you can drink one of the tea bags from the descendants of that company. They sell it. This
good tea.
It's just good
Saski
tea. They have it, right. So it's just like you just never know. You invest in many places, and you just never know what will be successful in life. There's a very interesting Gemara I'll share with you. The Gemara says sometimes people, they have their children, because this word, Baboker, Zera, Azarecha, have your seed, it also means have your family. Ula Erev, sometimes people are happy with whatever children they have, and that's enough. They don't keep on having large families. So they say that he was advising to have as many kids as you can handle, because you never know which ones will turn out to be the ones that sometimes it's the kid that you didn't expect. He turns out to be really a good kid. You know, you have a lot of nachas from him. And it could be there's another kid who you thought you would see so much from. Life is funny. You just don't know what life brings to people. So they said that the Gemara says that this King Solomon was advising people to have children in when you're young and have children when you're old. Again, assuming you can handle them, because you never know. You just don't know. And then it gives an example. It says it in a different way. It says that Rabbi Akiva was a teacher, and he taught, and he became world famous, and at one point he had a school with 24,000 students. It was an amazing school. It was his life work, really, to teach 24,000 students, and they all died in 3 months. It was like nobody. Today we don't know exactly if it was a plague, it was a war. They all died. All of Rabbi Akiva's students, his entire life's work. Rabbi Akiva is like one of the most amazing people. If you ever study what he went through, and like he was the.
Did he die first?
He was tortured to death
at
the end of his life by the Romans for teaching Torah.
Right, yeah. And then the people couldn't go on without him, right? Because he was the. Teacher.
I'll tell you what happened. So when in his younger age, it was after age 40 where people said you're too old to learn and life is done. Like, well, if you're older than 40, there's still hope for all of us, you know, right? So he started at age 40 and he studied, and then he became a great scholar, and he had over 24,000 students, and they all died. In fact, we still mourn those students during the Sefiras HaOmer time of year. We don't have weddings that time of year because one of the reasons was that these students passed away at that time. And in his old age, he was over 100. He taught 5 more students. He moved away. Apparently it was too many memories there or whatever. He moved south, it says, to the south of Israel, and he found 5 young students, and he started over. And all the Torah that we have today, the Jewish people, came through those 5 students. And there wouldn't be anything that, so the 24th hour, his life's work was gone, those 5 students. I don't know what I'm getting into, but there was another story I heard. I'm just reminding myself, I'm not always a storyteller. There was a Jew in Europe that was a famous scholar that wrote a best-selling book, a Torah book. And there was a very poor rabbi who was in that time in Europe. There were lots of poor rabbis who wrote him the author a letter and said, "I've seen your book. It's amazing. It's wonderful Torah thoughts, but I can't afford to buy it. Can you give me a discount or can you send it to me? I'm interested." So he sent him a free copy. You never know. You write a nice letter, you never know. So that was one of the books that this rabbi had, and somehow he survived the war, this poor scholar, and he made his way to Israel, and he eventually became quite a well-known rabbi and a scholar himself. At one time, he saw an article that the descendants of this scholar wanted to reprint the book of that famous book, but they couldn't find any copies. Because during the war, everything had been burned, everything had been destroyed. Does anybody have it? He had the one copy. Mm-hmm. So that one book that he gave, you know, as a donation to a poor scholar, we wouldn't even have this book. And with today, that's what kept all of his scholarship alive, was that one. So again, the same idea that you just never know what will, where your success in life will come from, or where you'll be remembered for, or what will enable your work to carry on or to last forever. The, if you worked in the morning, don't say, okay, I'm done. I did my, you know, in the evening, don't, whatever you're able to. Obviously, if you're able to rest in the evening, you should, you know, rest. But don't keep busy. Always keep on going. Keep on, in your day, because you really don't know what, which accomplishments in life are going to last, which things will be worthwhile. Many people accomplished things when they were older that were much more important and valuable and lasted, that they thought their life was over, and those relationships or those accomplishments are really what mattered, made all the difference. So you just never know. I know people that when they were younger, they maybe didn't do the right things, and they fixed it up. You know, they changed in the, at a different time in their life. And it really, you just never know. You never know which things in life. So don't, person, not ready to retire yet. That's really the idea. Ula'er, towards the evening, towards the later part of a person's life, it's not time to give up. It's not time to, maybe you do different types of things, but you just never know where your efforts will succeed.
Is he one of the ones, I think I read that, that he was, Akiva, was one of the prophets that lived to 120.
That's correct,
yeah.
That's right, good. Moses also lived to 120.
Yes.
He was like the Moses of
his
time.
Yes,
right.
The
Eza, V'im Shneim Te'echad. Now, if you're lucky, all your investments will work. You know, they both could be good. You just don't, but you just never know. So you invest in the morning, you work in the morning, you work in the evening. You plant a little here, you plant a little there. And planting is like that. You just never know which things will grow. People are always surprised which ones do well, which ones don't do well, the ones that they didn't think do well produce a lot. Verse 7, Umasak Or V'tov Le'inayim. Light is sweet and good for the eyes. Lero says, it's good to see the sun. So this, again, could be taken in a few. One thing is, if it's a new day, that's sweet. If you see the sunrise, you're alive for another day, life is precious. Enjoy every minute of it. You see the sun coming up, just there's nothing like being alive another day to see the light of a new day. Appreciate that, you know, thank God. You know, it's another day, it's another, it's good, it's a sweet thing to, life is sweet. Some people say this refers to wisdom or to Torah, because that's also a Hanukkah theme, that the light, light is always a metaphor for knowledge. Because in the temple, when they lit the menorah, that was a metaphor for when things are dark, you stumble and you're afraid and you can't see. And light enables you to see and know and to see what's there and to know. Knowledge is like that. People stumble because they don't know. But if they have knowledge, then that's like light. And so, and just like knowledge, if you share it with other people, you don't lose anything. Light is like that. You can light up other things in the, so light is always a reference. Torah or, it's always, there's a pasuk that says that, the Torah is like a, is a light. So he's saying that, the light or the learning is good for the eyes. It's always good to, it gives a person vision. There is the idea also that sometimes a person, is confused about things or has to make an important decision, and they just don't know what to do. So one thing people suggest is to study Torah and then make the decision. Mm-hmm. Because if you learn, this is the wisdom of our Creator, and so if you learn Torah and then after you study, you make your decision, you can hope, as part of our prayer, is that maybe the Torah learning helped us make the right decision. I've heard that idea, or that opens our eyes, so to speak.
Okay. You see the light.
You see the light, that's right. That's a good metaphor. Where does that come from, you see the light? I mean, it's just out there, right?
Probably comes from the Torah, everything comes.
That's correct, yeah. Verse 8, Ki'im Shnaim, Ki'im Shanim Harba Yifya Adam. Now, if a person lives many days, many people are blessed with old age. Bekulim Yismach. You know what? Be happy in all of them. Learn to appreciate life. If Hashem blesses you with life, be happy about that. That's a, you know what other people would pay for that life? There's so many people that, some people have
a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right. There's some people that they have, you know, diseases, and they invest in very, you know, all kinds of cures and things because it's worth anything to them for that life. And other people, Hashem gives them life. So if a person has that life, he should be happy with it. B'yiska shemei choshech. And if light also is like a good day. There's like good days and bad days. So you should enjoy the good days because you remember there'll be bad. There are bad days. There are dark days too. So today's light. You know, actually today's kind of cloudy, but if it's a nice day, enjoy it. You know, like remember the good because there are a lot of there's a lot of dark days. And so view kol shavo hevel. And there's a lot of wasted time or a lot of thin air that's out there. So a person should not waste time. He should enjoy the time that he has. And on this theme, verse 9, that you should, when people are young, it's very interesting. Young people get very depressed easy, and they get bothered by things. And old people would just say, if I could only be young. And here are these young people, and they're upset because they, you know, they didn't get invited. Somebody didn't invite them to the right prom or the right this or the right that. And they're very moody, and they're very upset. And old people, what I wouldn't give to be his age again or whatever. Like the and young people, they want to be old. So it's like a person is... if a person is manages to reach old age, enjoy the life, enjoy the wealth of another day, enjoy the sun, enjoy the life that Hashem has given you. And if you're young, enjoy your youth, enjoy what you have ahead of time. Don't people, they're always waiting for the next stage in life. Enjoy what you got. Be a tiva libe, can be of a good heart. Learn to be good-hearted. Learn to make your heart good. Be mei bachusecha, when you're when you're young, when you could still fix things, when you could still choose the direction. V'holech b'darchei libech. And follow the ways of your heart. Don't just follow the people. Don't just follow blindly. Let your heart guide you. Let think about things. U'bamore einecha. And also, you should look ahead. Like sometimes people, they just do things and they don't see what's ahead of them. So you, if your heart and your eyes are focused on helping you make the right decisions, so then hopefully you'll do what's right. V'dark yikol ke'ela, and if you go in the wrong way, so yavi elokim b'mishpat, then Hashem will bring you to justice. So a person should try to think before they act, should try to do the right things, should try to focus their heart and their eyes. Now, what do you got to watch out for? This is many people, they know all the right things, but they blow it because they have a temper. That's really what ruins a lot. That's the spoiler in life. People, they get angry. There's so many, they're good people, but they just get angry, and they sometimes turn away people from them because of the anger. So a person shouldn't just say, I have a temper, but you can work on that. Person can learn to control their temper. But you know what? Get rid of it. Just throw it away. Get rid of
the attitude.
It's the attitude. Yeah. There are many people that in their old age, you sometimes kids think that, like, parent, you were young once, you know, or you had a temper once. You wouldn't believe what kind of temper I had when I was your age. But as they got older, they learned how to deal with it. They learned how to control it, how to remove it. There are all kinds of advice or things that people can do, but people can work on that. If you want to accomplish things, you need to learn to get rid of that anger. Sometimes there are people that are they're so angry at others, they have like family gatherings and the other things, and there are certain things upset them so much, they don't enjoy themselves. But they got to remove the anger. The anger doesn't help things. So hashikas, you know, remove it. Just be aware of it and try to remove it. V'haber rab imsecha, and you know what? You're going to help yourself. You don't help anybody by being an angry person. If you're able to remove the anger, you're saving your body. Today we know that because anger causes high blood pressure and it causes all kinds of... it's not healthy to be an angry person. Angry people, there's certain health, you know, their body does certain things that when they're angry, they're not good for a person. People that are just more relaxed. So today they have all kinds of things, massage and all kinds of other, people want to go to Arizona, they want to get high or whatever. The people are looking how to relax or how to be, just want to calm themselves down. But, partially if a person works on removing the anger, you know, and they're not, Now, they might say, well, what do you mean? I got to be angry at that person. Look what he did. You know, a person harms himself by being angry. If you get rid of the anger, you're going to help yourself. You're getting rid of an evil. It's like on you. And people, when they're childish, or they can really waste their time with a lot of that anger. And so that's his advice, which is, again, just very good advice about the basic idea of putting effort in many different directions and keeping busy and appreciating life and the preciousness of each day of life. And then he just finishes, but don't let anger ruin life. Try to get rid of that anger. If you can control the anger, then things will go well.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.